All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 14 through 16. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So he's going to preach the same thing he did last week. No, I'm not. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Hey, all this stuff we've been preaching in Romans, it's been going on for 2,000 years. There's some important things there. Peter acknowledges that Paul's writings are scriptures. You see that?
Yes.
He acknowledged that. And he acknowledged that some of the things that Paul wrote are hard to be understood. And you got to have understanding. If you don't, you're going to be like these people that rest them and twist them. And so this, I just want to talk to you a little bit about Peter and Paul tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please help us as we look at this for a few minutes and we see a good example that these two men set for us in their walk and in figuring out the difficulties and the controversies and the hard things to understand, how they dealt with it among themselves. I thank you for their good example. Thank you for the Scripture that reveals this to us. I pray you'd help us to understand this, get it, apply it in our own lives and live the same way and leave the same kind of example in Christian love and fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter and Paul. Peter refers to the Apostle Paul here and his writings in support of his own warnings. Last week we talked about diligently prepare, seeing that all these things should be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, remember? Then he turns here and he says, Paul wrote the same things. He talked about the same things that I'm talking about. But he talked about how we should diligently be preparing for the end of all things. This shows us that Peter was acquainted with Paul's writings, you see. Peter was acquainted with what Paul wrote, and he called it Scripture. He'd read the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. Peter had. You understand that. Peter had read 1 and 2 Corinthians. He had read Colossians and Galatians, as well as Philemon, and 1 and 2 Timothy, and Thessalonians, and Titus, and I believe Hebrews. Some people don't believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but I do, but I ain't going to argue with nobody about it. It's not anything to argue about. It's the Bible, same as the rest of it, so who cares? But he says that Paul, in all his epistles, so it means he must have read them. He's not like our representatives who don't read the bills they're passing or anything. They talk about and make laws without even reading them. Peter wouldn't do that. He knew what he was talking about. He wouldn't have said this if he didn't know what Paul had written in all his epistles. And he said that they speak of the same subject he's speaking of here, about being prepared and the time of the end coming. And it's true. You know that Paul talked in 1 Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord. And in other places, Paul referred to the end and how things are going to be and all of that. This shows us that Peter regarded Paul as an apostle of the Lord with as much knowledge and authority as himself concerning the truth of the gospel. And now you got to understand what a big step that was. Peter was with the Lord when the Lord lived and walked on this earth. Peter was with Jesus. He knew him personally. Paul wasn't. You understand that? And for Peter to acknowledge that Paul has as much knowledge of the Lord, if not more, than he does himself, that he's got as much authority to speak, that he's as much an apostle as he is, he's took a big step there. Because in the first place, Peter puts Paul on a higher pedestal than himself, really. And according to the wisdom given unto him, he says, it shows that Peter recognized the fact that Paul had understanding in the truth of the gospel and the ways of the Lord. The understanding given to him, according to the wisdom given unto him, Peter said that. So he is acknowledging, he believes, Peter is stating the fact that Paul understands. Now, I know a lot of people that say they're Christians, and I know they don't understand. I know they don't have understanding. I've got anyway, I don't know how many of you have even noticed it, but in talking to people, that's kind of the language I use anymore. You know, I meet people of other churches and stuff, and I just kind of, that's kind of the gauge I go by. If I can sense some understanding there, then that's a hopeful sign to me. If I can sense and recognize some real wisdom of God in them, that's the thing that I recognize and cling to, really. When I talk to somebody and they're full of doctrine and head knowledge and confusion about the things of God, I can tell pretty quick that they really don't understand. And see, Peter had come to the place where he realized this guy understands. Paul, he's got it. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, Peter walked with the Lord. For 3 years, Peter was with the Lord. He knew him well in a personal way. And Paul didn't have that, but Paul had the same knowledge and understanding that Peter had. And see, we're in the same position as Paul was in that respect, you see. We didn't see the Lord face to face. We didn't walk with him. We didn't hear his voice. We weren't there. We believed on him because somebody else has told us. We've heard and we believed. And so we can see from the language that he uses here that he had high regard for Paul. He refers to him as our beloved brother, Paul. I don't know, that's a long ways from where it was when Paul just got back from the road to Damascus. Yeah. And even 3 years later when he came and they wouldn't accept him. It's worth thinking about because Peter had plenty of reasons in the eyes of men to not think so highly of Paul. I mean, if he would have been like most so-called Christians are nowadays, they wouldn't have had this kind of attitude toward Paul. They would have been enemies. He wouldn't have had nothing to say but bad stuff about him. But it just wasn't that way at all. Wasn't that way at all. You ought to understand these things. You know, I said to some of you here a while back, I was reading this thing. It's about George Whitefield and John Wesley. And they always conflicted with one another. They didn't believe alike. And so they were both powerful preachers. And they both did great works. And God used both of them. But one of them asked Mr. Whitefield one time, because their debates and their conflicts were pretty public. And everybody knew it. And so everybody took it. They, you know, like we would take it. We would think, well, they hate each other's guts. And asked Mr. Whitefield, you think that you'll see John Wesley in heaven? He said, no, I don't think I'll see him in heaven at all. And they said, oh, you mean you don't even think he's saved? And he said, no. He said, I think that he'll be so far ahead of me in heaven that I won't even be able to see him. Now that was the attitude that Whitefield had toward Wesley, even though he didn't agree with some of his doctrine and things. Well, that tells you volumes, see. Paul and Peter did not disagree, but they did have some conflicts. During their ministries, they butted heads a few times. So Paul was not accepted. They had their problems with one another. And so, you know, we would think that he wouldn't think highly of him, but Paul wasn't accepted by the apostles when he got saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and 27. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem after many days, he essayed to go join him. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. You got it? Paul had been saved after many days. Now everybody's heard about it. Paul was going about, Saul was going about turning men and women into prison. He was murdering people in the churches. He had the papers, the authority to go destroy them. And he was mad about doing it. I mean, he was doing it with a passion. And so all the Christians knew about Saul of Tarsus. Now all of a sudden, he's a Christian. He's turned and he's been saved. And so after many days, this didn't happen the next day or the next day. It's been after many days, he came to Jerusalem and he tried to go join up with them. He went to where they were. You know what happened? Let's read it here. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So Peter, what we've read here, Peter has went from not even believing the man could possibly be saved to saying he's an apostle. And he knows much or more than I do. He understands the wisdom that's given to him. Our beloved brother Paul. I mean, the boy's changed his mind, hasn't he? Sure has. Changed his opinion. Changed his feelings. Changed his attitude. The way he esteems this man. Oh, it's totally changed. Went from an enemy to our beloved brother. And so he went and they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, Barnabas took Paul in. He went in with him. And I'll go with you. So Barnabas went in and argued in favor of Paul and said, look, you know, the man's a different man. You need to listen to him. You need to accept him. It's funny how people can preach the gospel and tell everybody that Jesus saves to the uttermost. And he'll forgive every sinner of everything. But then there's a certain kind of sinner they don't believe could possibly be saved. Yeah. that's the truth. I remember a story about a young girl who had a terrible reputation. And she started coming to church and she got saved and she started serving the Lord faithfully and she was in the church a good while and doing well. But the pastor's son started sparking with her. And boy, then trouble was on. She wasn't fit for him, you know. So you really believe that God saves old sinners then? Really believe he makes us a new creature? Old things passed away, all things become new. We can talk about that and preach it, but when it comes to really believing it, we fall in the same place these guys went. The very apostles of Jesus did the same thing. They said, you know, all these others, some of the Pharisees, they accepted them even, but not this guy. Oh, no, they were afraid of him. Well, you can't blame them in a little bit, can you? I mean, it's okay for them to require some kind of proof, some kind of evidence. You don't just blindly take people's word. Well, I'm saved now. Mm-hmm. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance then. Repentance. Then that's something to do with your sinning then, isn't it? All right. Paul had rebuked Peter to his face publicly in front of a bunch of other people. Boy, now that's an unforgivable trespass. You do that. You confront somebody in front of other people to their face and rebuke them. Well, most people will hate you forevermore, no matter what. They would never forgive you for that. Well, oh, hard-headed, quick-speaking, impulsive Peter did. He got over it. It didn't cause him to stumble. Made him a better man. Didn't make him want to get out and quit. No, it made him love Brother Paul. Yeah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. Let me read this. I had a lot more, but I cut it back to make it a little more brief. But it says here, and this is Paul writing. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Now, we just read about that in Acts chapter 9, where Barnabas took them in and said, now look, you got to say. So now Paul's writing, and he says, when they saw, you know, the grace that was given unto me, they gave us the right hand of fellowship. He's talking about when they accepted him in. All right. And that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before, and can you imagine Peter reading this in Paul's writings? That's scripture, he said. I mean, it wasn't something that happened and nobody said nothing about it and kind of keep it quiet and don't bring that up. No, Paul wrote it down in the scriptures. And Peter had to live with it and know that everybody from now on for all eternity is going to know, going to be able to read about Paul withstanding Peter to the face because he's to be blamed. Because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. You see what Peter did? Mm-hmm. Paul called him out for it. He'd eat with the Gentiles as long as the Jews wasn't watching. But when the Jews come around, he withdrew himself like now. He didn't want them to see him with them. Well, that's respect of persons, and the Bible says that's sin. So Paul called him out on it face to face and said, man, what in the world are you doing? That's wrong. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. See, Paul's saying that Peter did it, and he called, and the rest of them followed him. I mean, you were a bad influence, Peter. Can you imagine what Paul said to him? Something like that. Look what you've done. I mean, you did that, and look what a terrible example you are to all the rest of these. Them Gentiles, brethren, or not? Well, yeah, you know. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Said, you're being a hypocrite, Peter. You're not being consistent. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth, Peter. You can't do that. So whatever faults we may find in Peter, we got to acknowledge one thing, that he could take being rebuked and corrected. Now we can say all kinds of things about Peter, but now he got rebuked more than anybody else in the New Testament. Any of the other disciples, Peter caught it because he was always running his mouth. I've preached on Peter before and brought it out how he was always first. It was Peter, James, and John. Peter. Peter was always first. He was the first one to say something. He was the first one to give his opinion. He was the first one with an idea about what to do. You talk a lot, you're going to get in trouble a lot. That's right. If you don't like rebuke, be quiet. Jesus rebuked him a number of times publicly. Get thee behind me, Satan, he said to him one time. He wasn't talking to Satan, he's talking to Peter. Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? John chapter 11, verse 11. Put your sword up, Peter. There he is with his sword out. Right at the wrong time. Put it away. You know, can you imagine Peter holstering his gun back, you know, after put it up. What's the matter with you? This ain't the time for that. Well, okay. You know, made a mistake. But he took the rebuke. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? when he sank in the water, in the sea. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will I not. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Well, that's pretty much of a rebuke. Peter said, I'll not. I don't care if everybody else does. Not me. Not old Peter. I won't. Jesus said, you will too. You're going to be the first one out of the gate. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Man, what a stinging, hard rebuke. You know, if you're going to mount to anything, you're going to have to learn to take criticism and rebuke. I mean, we got to learn to... if we can dish it out, my mama always told me, you got to be able to take it. If you're going to dish it out, you ought to be able to take it. Well, I believe that's right. I think you ought to be willing and able to listen to somebody tell you you're wrong about that. And when you tell somebody they're wrong about something, you ought to do it gently and in love and kindness and not in spitting fire and swinging your fist. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, what we read a while ago, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. See, he was just all time getting rebuked. Jesus did it to him more than Paul did, but Paul did it too, and he didn't take offense at that either. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You ever know anybody like that? I know some people like that. They're just bouncing off of this wall and off of that wall. I mean, you can't get them to just settle down here. Balance out. Now just settle down and get steady. No, they're... You ain't washing my feet, no sir. Well, then you ain't got no part of me. Wash my head, my hands, everything, Lord. Then just do that. Peter. You know, he did get straightened out. Yeah, he did. He's the first one that preached after the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. After the Holy Ghost was given, Peter's the first man out to preach. And he did it right. He didn't make no mistakes. He didn't say nothing confused. He wasn't confused. No, sir. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Pretty hard rebuke there too, wasn't it? He didn't say that to John. He didn't say that to any of the rest of them, Matthew, nobody else. I mean, Peter's the one that's singled out here. Peter, do you love me? And Peter had to tell him three times. One more. John chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You see? We can find more, I'm sure. But Peter was a man who learned from his mistakes and wasn't defeated and destroyed by them. He didn't go off having a pity party and feeling sorry for himself and how nobody loves me and everybody hates me and everybody's just always picking on me and I can't do nothing right and I'm just a loser. Peter didn't do that. He took what was the rebuke and he fixed it. Yeah. You don't get him, you don't see him getting told 2, 3, or 4 times about the same thing that he's doing. You got rebuked once, and that is it. That's pretty good if you can do that. I mean, if you can be corrected one time and you fix it and say, and so that one's behind me, ain't nobody going to have to correct me about that anymore. That's a pretty good way to go. You're going to get somewhere doing that. Peter and Paul had a relationship that was as God intended for Christians to have. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. Can't sharpen iron with wood. You got to have iron to sharpen iron. I believe Seth said here a while back, somebody said it, when iron strikes iron, sparks fly. Yeah. Those who are truly in Christ share the same Lord and the same gospel. We're not on opposite teams, and we're not fighting one another, and we're not competing with one another. That's what emulation is. It's striving against and competing and trying to outdo, trying to gain the supremacy over one another, and that ain't the way it should be. We ought to be rowing together, not against one another, swinging our oars at one another, and trying to clobber one another, trying to stop one another. No, we need every hand on deck. And everybody needs to be pulling together. They share the same Holy Spirit and live of the same bread of life. There should be no divisions or schisms among the people of God. They should be able to reprove and rebuke and exhort one another without being offended and falling out with one another. Used the example a lot, several times, I mean, I know I have, of Apollos and how that Aquila and Priscilla took him in and showed him, instructed him more perfectly in the way of the Lord, because he was zealous and preaching. Boy, I mean, he was out there going great guns, but he wasn't right. I mean, he had some things he wasn't doing, telling right. And they just took him in and explained it to him and taught him and instructed him, and he received it and he went out, the Bible says, and done much good. They helped him. He received it. Man, it ought to be that way, don't you think? Even old Peter left us a good example of this. Peter obviously did not hate Paul for the sharp rebuke that he gave him. Peter wasn't holding any grudges. He didn't speak evil of Paul. He called him our beloved brother, knowing that this was written in the very letters that he was defending. As Paul's writings, hard to be understood. People twist them like they do the other scriptures. But he wasn't bitter at Paul, wasn't angry with him, had nothing to say against him at all. All the previous record we have of Peter in the Bible shows that he took the rebuke with grace and recognized his wrong and corrected it. You can find all these rebukes Peter got, but you got to recognize that he took it well and it profited him. And he didn't hold it against Jesus, and he didn't get mad at him, and he didn't get mad at Paul for rebuking him. He didn't have an attitude of being in competition with Paul. You know, like most preachers do today. It's like a competition to see who's got the best, who's got the most, who's better at everything, who's the most successful. Wasn't nothing like that. They didn't look at it that way at all. It wasn't, you know, the way he looked at it, they were co-workers in the Lord's work. And that's the way we ought to look at it too. We're co-laborers together with Christ. We are co-laborers together. We're all in this together. We're all responsible with what God's given us to use in His work. It wasn't Him against me or me against Him. You know? You got to get to the place in your life. I mean, you're not mature as a Christian at all. You're still a child. If it really bothers you and it really hinders you about what other people might say about you to other people. You understand what I said to you? A lot of preachers especially, but everybody's this way, but preachers are too. They fret more about what other people are saying about them to other preachers, you know, or what other preachers are saying among themselves about them. I mean, it just really is a big thing with them. Well, you got to get to the place where it don't mean nothing to you. If I'd have read the rest of the context there, Paul was saying, they that seemed to be somewhat in conference meant nothing to me. It didn't. That's what he was saying. I don't care what. You know, they all got together and they were all agreeing against me, but I didn't care. Don't make no difference to me. Ain't going to change a thing about me. Just because they all gather together and say, he is bad. He's a heretic. Not if you're not, you're not. Now, people are going to do that. They're going to say. Peter could have said the same thing, you know. Paul said this publicly, wrote it down, public record forever, about Peter's dealings there with the Gentiles and the Jews. I mean, the way it is nowadays, Peter would have been bitter about that forever. Mm-hmm. May have took him to court and sued him for libel or slander or something, you know. Well, both. He could get him for both, see? Well, there was no feeling or rage toward Paul. There was no urge to outdo or excel higher than Paul. There was no desire, we can see here, to cut Paul down to size or in any way humiliate him or lessen the esteem of others toward him. Man, that's an important thing. I've read things about wise men of the past, and they talk about how they judged a man by how he spoke about his enemies. Yeah, I can tell you a few stories there that I've read that just really, they're really powerful examples of men honoring other men, like Peter's honoring Paul here. That's what we're to do. That's our duty as a Christian. The Bible says honor all men, love the brotherhood, and on and on. Peter didn't try to humiliate Paul or lessen the esteem of others toward him. He didn't try to hurt Paul's reputation. He helped him. He spoke well of him. There's no desire to do that. All right, Peter mentioned that in the writings of Paul, there were things that were hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. He actually spoke of Paul as if he were above himself in understanding the things of God and the truth of the gospel. He really did. There, that's... Don't you see that? Paul was good for Peter because Peter had a heart that was right with God. And if your heart's right with God, God can put somebody in your life to rough you up a little bit, and it'll help you. Mm-hmm. Won't hurt you. It might hurt for a little bit, but you don't mind going to the doctor and getting a shot. Right in the old tush that hurts real bad if you're sick enough. You'll do it. So why don't you take a little shot for your soul once in a while? You know? Amen. Sometimes you got to be rebuked. That's what the charge to the preacher in the Bible is. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Feed my sheep, yeah. But that's also in there too. It's just got to be done. Most of the time people don't do like Peter. They get mad. And they hate you forever. Yes, sir. I know there's a few people that really despise me because of something I said one time to them or preached while they were listening. And they took it as if I was saying it to them, and I might have been. They needed it. What a shame. I can think of one or two like that, and their life has spiraled downward ever since then. Instead of taking the rebuke and realizing, you know, he's right. This is not right. And I just need to throw this overboard, change it. I need to change my way about this. See, if they'd have done that, life would have been totally different for them now. Peter was good for Paul. Also, Paul was good for Peter because Peter had a heart that was right with God. Well, Peter was good for Paul too because Paul had a right heart that was right with God. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul's talking in Galatians chapter 2, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. You see what Paul said there? He said, God called me to the circumcision. He called Peter to the uncircumcision. He called Peter to the circumcision and me to the uncircumcision. I got it backwards there. But anyways, you know, he acknowledged that Peter, God called Peter, God called me. Right. Just because Peter did something wrong didn't disqualify him or in Paul's eyes make him a fake and a phony and a heretic. Right. He just needed to be called out for something. I don't read where Peter ever did that again. It was a hard thing, too. You know, you gotta take into account what a Gentile was to a Jew in those days, especially. I mean, it was a big, huge step for Peter to go to a Gentile and tell them about God and tell them they could have what he has. I mean, it was a big deal. It never had been that way. Remember, Peter had to... That sheep coming down with the unclean beast and he had to kill and eat. And Peter said, oh, not so, no. Three times. Sometimes Peter was hard-headed. Three times. He understood. He finally got it. Went to Cornelius. You know the story. But Paul could rebuke Peter for being wrong without trashing him completely and trying to destroy his ministry and his reputation. And we ought to learn that from this and go and do likewise. We should learn to take rebuke without being offended. We should learn to reprove, rebuke, and exhort without harming others' feelings, their feelings, and their spiritual welfare. You know. Amen. Good example. Right. From old Paul and Peter here. You can see how two men that were two of the most important men in the early church. I mean, we owe the fact that we're here, we owe it to these two men especially. And you see how they had a conflict more than once, but they didn't hate each other. It didn't destroy the work of God. It didn't just leave a nasty smell everywhere for everybody and a bad example. No, they set a good example. And they got past their differences and they worked it all out. And ended up loving one another and supporting one another and helping one another. Because to them, the work of God was much more important than themselves. Or what they thought, felt, believed, you know, what their opinions and all that. I mean, the truth is what mattered. And consistency and honesty and holiness and righteousness. That's what mattered. Amen. All right. Good example. Go and be a good example then. Should never end up hating somebody. I never have. I just never have. I just can't. That ain't in me to do that. Never has been. I've had people do some really, really bad things to me. And I never did hate them. I never did wish they would die. I never did seek an opportunity or an occasion to destroy them if I could. Now, I've had people do that to me because they found something they didn't agree with about me, and so they just set out to destroy me. And so that I would never preach again, never be able to have any kind of ministry or influence again. And They didn't live very long. I didn't have to wish them dead. I didn't. Didn't. I honestly didn't. But they didn't live very long. Do right. Do right by one another. And remember, people are watching. Ain't no telling what's being recorded about what we do. See? And be able to take it. Just be a help and a blessing. The whole goal of it all is to help somebody. You know, I never preach with some kind of attitude of just leveling everything to the ground. No. I never preach without the basic intent and desire is to help you. To help you. And that's the way it is. I know sometimes it may not seem like that. But it didn't seem like that when I was getting a whooping when I was a kid either. Tell me, this hurts me. My kids always said, they said, you tell me it hurts you worse than me. That ain't true at all. Well, after they grow up and start whooping their kids, they've come back and said, you know, I understand now. That is right. Amen. All right, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Do everything in love. That's what they did here. And that's what we ought to do. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Wonderful example here of brotherly kindness, forbearance, forgiveness, and love between those who were the most important people in the early church. And a big part of the reason that we've got what we've got now, the Bible we hold in our hands tonight, we just read verses written by both of these men. And Lord, pray you'd help us to honor one another, honor all men. Help us, Lord, to be have love in our hearts and never hatred, vengeance, anything like that at all, avarice in our heart toward others. Please help us to stick to the truth and to walk in it. I pray you'd get us home safely tonight. Pray you'd guide and direct our lives through this week. Help us to be a blessing, a testimony to somebody. And use us, Lord, for your glory. Help us in our lives. And Lord, we love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.